You're listening to Recovery, Healing, Outreach, and Awareness, a podcast about domestic violence, sponsored by Randy's House of Angels. Domestic or intimate partner violence is a complex and silent epidemic that affects millions of people worldwide. To respond to the overwhelming issues associated with domestic violence, Randy's House of Angels has produced a series of podcasts that will bring this epidemic to the forefront of public consciousness and break the silence that often shrouds it. This is Paul Miller, producer of this program, and by creating a dedicated platform, Randy's House of Angels hopes to create a safe space for survivors, advocates, and experts to share their stories, insights, and knowledge. A series of topics will be discussed that can offer vital support and resources to victims and survivors, helping them realize that they are not alone and that there is help available. It can also serve as a catalyst for raising awareness and fostering necessary conversations within families, communities, and institutions to empower individuals, foster empathy, and inspire collective action toward eradicating domestic violence while creating a safer, more compassionate society. We invite you to access the podcast by going to randyshouseofangels.org. Today, we look at common misconceptions about domestic violence, busting the myth that it only affects women. We examine the shared dynamics of abuse, focusing on female-perpetrated tactics like emotional, psychological, physical, and financial harm. We explore how male victims cope with shame, social stigma, and the deep fear of being disbelieved. Our team investigates the steep barrier men face when reporting abuse, along with their unique legal challenges. Finally, we highlight the vital resources and support systems available right now for male survivors. Joining us today is Rick Liebarger. Rick is a certified financial planner with 28 years of experience with helping families navigate complex financial decisions with clarity, discipline, and long-term perspective. After coming close to burnout earlier in his career, Rick initiated a personal transformation that led to meaningful changes in how he lives and works, with an increased focus on health, resilience, and sustainable performance. For more than 7 years, he has worked as a breathwork and meditation coach and energy healer, supporting clients in developing nervous system regulation, emotional resilience, and heart-mind coherence. He is also the founder of Wisdom One, where he integrates breath, meditation, and energetic alignment and biohacking principles to support sustainable personal growth and overall well-being. Rick is a father of three who enjoys the outdoors and continually challenges himself through exercise, mountain climbing, hiking, and leading retreats. He is on a lifelong path of learning and self-inquiry, drawing from physical training, time in nature, and hermetic teachings as disciplines for moving deeper into the principle of knowing thyself. The facilitator of today's podcast is Dr. Ellen Smith. Ellen Smith, MD, retired after 30 years of teaching and practicing family medicine in the Harrisburg area. Her undergraduate studies were at Hollins University, and she completed her medical degree at the Penn State University College of Medicine in Hershey, PA. In addition, she completed a family medicine residency at Lancaster General Hospital. Since retiring, she has studied adversity, how a traumatized brain works, and how to bounce back and become more resilient. She is passionate and appreciative of the opportunity to educate thousands of people about these topics. She also volunteers at the Trinity Preschool of Harrisburg, a grant-funded, inner-city, trauma-informed preschool. Finally, she has developed a tool called the Personal Resilience Planner, which takes the above concepts and provides a practical way to look at strengths, trauma responses, resilience, and how to progress in these areas over time. Dr. Smith welcomes opportunities to discuss her work.
Rick, it's so good to have you here. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad to hear about your journey and your experiences. This is an opportunity that I am so happy about, and welcome. One of the things that's a common misperception is that domestic violence and abuse, child abuse, sexual abuse, doesn't happen to, to boys and men, but unfortunately it does. Of all the sexual abuse, childhood sexual abuse in the country, from a study by the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 20% of those children who are violated are boys. And then we look at, again, that's before eight. Before age 18, one out of six boys gets violated, 16% of boys, which would be five out of six for girls. And so, you know, one of the things when you have a situation like that is, of course, you've never been anything other than male, but there's more stigma. Some people hear about manning up and things like that, and it shouldn't happen, it's your fault. Can you talk about what it was like as a child and how it affected you?
Absolutely. Glad to be here and glad to share the story, because as a man and having been abused, sexually abused as a 12-year-old boy, it definitely had an impact on me. A lot of internal shame, a lot of, you know, wanting to pretend that it did not happen, not really knowing how to really talk about it to anyone. And so I just kept it inside and put a smile on my face and just kept going about my day. But, you know, that's a big thing, a big burden to hold on to inside. And, you know, for the longest time, I just thought I'd be fine and that it wouldn't impact me. And at some point, it just, I couldn't keep it inside anymore. And it unraveled. And that started a journey that took me into lots of different places, counseling sessions and multiple counseling sessions. And you know, being able to speak to the counselor, it took me probably four or five sessions with the counselor to even be able to speak those words that I was abused. So it was very deep inside.
And you said it seemed like it could go away, it would go away. I think that's a really strong theme that happens with people who are abused, whether sexually or otherwise, that is just like, oh, this will go away. I can't talk about it. I won't talk about it. So it'll get better. But what I hear from you is it didn't get better. And what we hear from other victims is it doesn't get better most of the time. And so I think that's an important point to bring back along.
So, I mean, for me, I graduated high school, graduated college, you know, was in the workforce, and I just learned how to bury things inside with alcohol. And that would just take me to a place where I was numb and I didn't have to feel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it definitely affected relationships with my wife at the time, affected relationships with family. And deep, deep down inside, I always felt like there was something that I could shift.
Wow. So you felt like something could shift. You felt maybe some hope that there was something there, even though it didn't feel that hopeful.
So I'm a big believer in mindset. Listen to people like Tony Robbins, I'm a financial advisor for the last 29 years. So in doing my work as a professional, I would listen to coaching, Brian Tracy, Tony Robbins, as I mentioned, books that just talk about how be careful what you think, you know, and use your thoughts to help you. And that journey, those types of messages kept resonating deeper and deeper within me. And it got to the point where, as much as I was using the abuse as a crutch to maybe not fully step into who I was as a person, at some point you have to make a decision that it's not going to be the dictator of your life anymore. There comes an aspect of self-acceptance and self-love and feeling worthy of those things, mm-hmm. allowing yourself to feel worthy of those things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you start healing, because you can start to talk about things and you get it out. And then when it starts to come out, you find out that other people have gone through similar situations, other men. In that journey, it wasn't just sitting in counseling and talking all the time, because you can talk and talk and talk and talk about something and how it makes you feel. And you can do that for the rest of your life, but it's really finding some tools and using those tools and applying them into your life and using the wisdom from those tools to help shift your sense of self, how you see the world, how you relate to the world, and shifting from a place of being angry and judgmental, and why me, feeling sorry for yourself, to I'm going to make this life count, and I'm going to do everything in my power to make good things happen with my family, with my children, with coworkers, building new relationships, finding joy and happiness, and ultimately love for self, but then also, you know, just being grateful for life.
That's amazing. And so in its journey for probably now decades, so can we, and some of it is acknowledge what happened, accept that it happened, that you can't change the past, but then not being defined by it. I thought that was really powerful for me, to just say, okay, yeah, this did happen, but I'm not going to live my entire life about something that happened, in your case, around 11 or 12. So what are, and I know that you've done a lot of things. Are there a couple of things, processes, styles? You mentioned listening podcasts. Is there a couple of key areas? Again, we can't go through everything just because of time, but like, what do you want to share with the audience that was just so helpful for you, and maybe what was surprising or particularly impactful?
Sure. So I heard a quote one that that from Einstein, and the quote was, "You cannot change something from the same place that it was created." So I think with a lot of traumas and that go on, not just for me, but for anyone in general, we tend to loop those traumas through our head. We try to make sense of it in our head. And I've done studies into Buddhism and meditation and breath work, energy healing, Reiki, all learning about the energy centers of the body, the chakra system, learning how to start moving energy within my body, learning how to shift out of my mind and get actually into my heart. And there's a company called HeartMath out of California. They've been studying the heart-mind connection for over 30 years. And the results that they see when people learn how to create coherence between the heart and the mind is one of the most powerful ways that people can shift. The heart actually speaks and sends 5 times as much information to the brain as the brain does to the heart. But we all think that our lives can be controlled as long as we control our mind. You know, when you learn to do things like master your breath, you master your mind. So simple things like just learning to breathe properly and a breathing technique can help calm the central nervous system down, you know, and it's learning how to get out of fight or flight all the time. You know, for me, because of the abuse, and you walk into a room or you are meeting new people, and you're assessing whether those people are, they're going to attack you, or what could they possibly do to you to harm you? And so that is a childhood mindset that was developed at, you know, age of 11 or 12. And that was my defense mechanism. And it served me well when I was a young child. But as you get older, that technique is not what is needed to continue to be thriving and growing. You have to be willing to lean into your own darkness.
Wow. Lean into your own darkness. Powerful. I think that's a new quote. You said something that I want to highlight, which is you had counseling. It was helpful. You talked about it. It was helpful, but it wasn't enough. And then you went into the body work, the breath work, the heart math, and the like. Can you kind of highlight that for speaking outwards? Like, how did that feel? And did you find certain things were helpful and not helpful? For instance, breath work is lovely for some people and is useless for others. And did you find things that were more helpful for you? And how did you go from, you know, the 5 times from the chest, from the body up to the head versus the other way?
So great question. So when I started to study fight or flight and started to understand the ACEs and started to understand how our traumas affect us, I realized that I needed to make shifts. And how was I going to make shifts? I have to become aware. And how do I become aware? I have to become more present. So, you know, aspects of my life, you have to learn how to forgive. You know, if you're holding on to anger for somebody, it's and it doesn't mean that you accept what they did, but you learn how to forgive in your own way to let that aspect go so that you can keep moving forward. It's like a hot air balloon is not going to lift off the ground if it's got 10 sandbags on it. So as you start to let go of the sandbags or the traumas or the angers or the judgments or whatever you're holding on to, and you now become, you get into a deeper sense of self. And I think for me, where the biggest shifts came in when we're talking about heart math and breathing and coherence is that the heart actually has brain-like receptors. And so those brain-like receptors actually, when you are willing to lean into self, because everything that we are searching for is already within us, as the Buddhist teachings share. That's a hard concept to grasp. Everybody's looking outside of themselves and looking for the next thing that maybe changes them. And what I realized is I was always looking for the next thing, right? Instead of actually just taking the thing that was in front of me and working with it. So becoming present and not having anxiety or fear of the future and not holding on to regrets or anger and frustration for the past and being in the present moment. So Joe Dispenza is a really good teacher in this, and he wrote a book called On Becoming Superhuman. And it's all about breath work and how that can help us in our journey to shift. And he's shown through, he's been doing this work for over 20 years, and he's helped people heal medical issues, mental issues, all by breath work and breathing and meditation. So, you know, meditation's a part of my daily routine. Breath work is a part of my daily routine. Giving gratitude to spirit, to God, to the oneness of the universe is also a big important part of it. I mean, we always have to have gratitude. Even when we don't like all the things that are around us, there's always something that we can find that is to be thankful for, whether it's a sunny day, whether it's a, you know, somebody buys you a coffee, or, you know, there are opportunities to be grateful every day for life, a hug. I mean, they all sound like little things, but they can shift you if you allow them to. And it's the willingness to lean into, again, your darkness. And what's interesting is what you find out is you can have a flashlight in your hand, and that darkness that's in the corner of the room, you just take your flashlight and shine it into that darkness, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, there's really nothing there at all. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you didn't have the trauma, but it doesn't mean that that trauma has to define you. It doesn't mean that it has to rule your life. It doesn't mean that it has to take away your joy. You can heal if you choose to.
Remember, you can always go to randyshouseofangels.org to learn more about programs offered to children who are victims and or exposed to domestic violence. Programs are offered at no cost to parents and guardians in 6 central Pennsylvania counties, including Cumberland, Perry, York, Dauphin, Lebanon, Berks, and Adams. Contact Nancy Chavez at 717-503-4498 or email randyshouseofangels@gmail.com for more information.
Right. I just want to pull back to your comments about forgiveness and the hot air balloon. And I think a common misconception is that if I'm going to forgive, I have to forgive everybody today 100%. And just like in the hot air balloon, you don't send the 10 sandbags off the side. You throw one. And sometimes when it comes to forgiveness, that forgiveness, you forget that forgiveness, you give it up, you get resentful. But then you can throw it out again and then again. And that sounds a little bit like your journey is you worked through forgiveness, you worked through anger, but it didn't happen all at once. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah, it's not, hate to say Starbucks life, but it's not a Starbucks life where you're with the drive-thru and you want to have the, you know, a 16-ounce cafe latte with mocha. Wherever your preference is when you order a coffee, you drive up to the drive-thru and you have exactly what you wanted when you ordered it, right? So there's an aspect to healing that also has to do with patience. It's not instantaneous. You can't just make the decision today, I'm healed, and you're healed, because there's steps to the process. I want to heal, or I am going to heal. So it's keeping perspective that you have the ability to heal, but you also have to change things. It's like the quote from Einstein, we can't expect to change something coming from the same place that it was created. which means you have to look at yourself in a different way. Hey, if that abuse was to take you out, it would have taken you out, but you're still right here, and you're still breathing, and mm-hmm. you still have this opportunity to do amazing things with your life, but you have to decide that that's the direction you want to go. And are you willing to give up the old story to find out what you can create with your new story? Like, there's a huge opportunity in all this. I look at it as well. Trauma can become a deep foundation for what we need to do. You know, the tallest buildings in the entire world have these foundations that go down deep, 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 deep into the ground. Trees, the tallest trees have the deepest roots. So when we have traumas, when we have things that have challenged us in life, it doesn't have to be abuse. It could be trauma can come in many different forms and effects, but it affects that person the way that it affects them. But we become stronger when we learn how to process these things and then move forward despite these challenges. And when we learn to let go and we learn to trust ourselves and appreciate who we are and the fact that we're still here, this creates the new opportunity to continue growing.
Absolutely. So one of the things to think about is that abuse occurs in a relationship with another human. I mean, it may not be it wasn't a healthy relationship, of course, but then the healing often comes through relationships with people. Or were there any people in your life? Are there any people in your life that have influenced and or supported your healing? And it may not be a formal support, but, you know, that listened to you or any number of things.
That's a hard one to answer, because I think that when we look at family, sometimes family has a hard time seeing those things or understanding the impact that it has. I think that on my journey that, you know, I've learned from several people. I mean, not that I know them personally, but Joe Dispenza, I've studied his work. I've studied Dave Lanyon's work. He's a teacher that I follow very closely as well. And their messages are, you know, clear that we can continue to heal. You know, I've had influences in my life too, helping me on my journey. You know, Magali Discus, who's lives here in Camp Hill. She is somebody that I go to trainings with and teachings and learning different philosophies of life. So, you know, she's somebody that I can chat with. And so there are people that, yes, have had influences in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for their, sometimes we need a mirror to show us where our BS is, right? And we don't like that. And we can choose to pick up our toys and walk away when somebody holds a mirror to us and say, well, I'm not going to deal with this. But I mean, the reality is at the end of the day that if you want to heal, you have to be real with yourself, be willing to decide what it's going to take to get you to where you need to go, right? If it was easy, we could pop a pill or we could wave a magic wand, but it doesn't work that way. You know, there are sacrifices that we have to make, and there are phases to our journey where it's not going to be comfortable. But when we get to the other side of those things, we get clear. There's in the movie Shawshank Redemption, I can't remember the character's name, but he uses a spoon to dig his way out of his cell, and then he finds the sewer, and he goes into a dark, dark sewer and climbs through the sewer for maybe a mile, not knowing where he's going, but just into the darkness and trusting and trusting and trusting. And that is part of the journey with healing. You know, it's putting faith into something we can't always see, but knowing that other people have put that same faith into their healing and come out the other side. Because life's a lot nicer and more enjoyable when we can heal, but we have to choose to do it.
You've just spoken such truth. You mentioned relationships, and it sounds like a lot of your energy is your relationship with yourself, of course, but also relationships with others. Can you talk about how that's changed?
Sure. So we can't give what we don't have, right? So if I don't have 10 bucks, I can't give you 10 bucks. If I don't love myself, I can't give you love. I mean, it may feel like I'm giving love, but in reality, you cannot give what you do not have. So there is an aspect where you have to. A couple of years ago, as I started to really just dig deep into this journey, I asked myself a couple of questions. Do I love myself? Do I trust myself? And if I don't love myself and I don't trust myself, why not? Why do I not feel worthy? I am me. You know, there's millions and billions of people on the planet. so everyone else is taken. You have this choice to be you, not somebody else. Leaning into that thought takes you down a journey of authenticity, which is the highest vibration that we can be as humans, our own authentic self in every aspect. And it doesn't mean authenticity doesn't mean coming from a place of anger and showing the world that I'm this person, and it's and whether you like it or not, that's your choice. I mean, it can to a certain degree, but that's not who you're living for. You know, for me, I heard people talk in doing my studies and my healing, and it was talking about people don't really think as much about you as you think that they do, right? And so the decisions that you can sometimes choose to make in your life based upon how you think other people are going to perceive you or judge you, I mean, that's going to happen no matter what. But if that's where your entire focus is on your life, is to just be pleasing to other people, that's another journey that does not help. I think learning to create healthy boundaries with people is good. You know, as being abused tends to lead to being a people pleaser. And saying yes and always agreeing. And there are aspects to that where you really have to learn how to set your own boundaries. Healthy boundaries can be so powerful as well on a journey, because it shows you, it gives you a sense of control of self. So I think that is something everyone needs to look into, loving yourself. And if you don't love yourself, well, then that's part of your journey right now. And what does loving yourself mean? It means wanting to heal. Loving yourself isn't selfish. It's actually very healthy to find that place inside where you're, you know, okay, today's a day that I need some rest. That's loving yourself. There's so many things that I think we can learn as we are willing to lean into the journey of self. And these have been my experiences in all this, and healing, breath work, meditation, even energy healing. I did life activation for myself a couple of years ago, and that was a really powerful journey that kind of sparked this mustard seed inside of me that brought me on this journey. And that was about 6 or 7 years ago. So if I had to draw a line in the sand of what became the big change or the big shift, it started there.
Excellent. One of the things that I've heard is, as boundaries teach people how to treat you. And I think boundaries can be seen differently, but I think they are healthy when people do them healthfully. Thinking about, there are children, boys and girls, who are currently at risk for being abused, potentially being groomed, which they may or may not know, or being abused. Is there any words of wisdom that you would pass along either to them or obviously their family members, their parents?
I was groomed, and you know, the way that the grooming was presented to me is it's like they knew my vulnerableness. Like, I wanted to connect with somebody, and I felt alone and lost, and this person came in and groomed me and made me think that they had my back and they cared about me. And so that can be tricky. I think that if people ask you to do things that don't make you comfortable, feel comfortable, or you know that something's not right, and but you're not willing to say no because you're afraid to lose that person, then that's a big red flag, a big heads up to say, hey, you know, if I'm questioning this, then there is something to it. And that's when you know, you need to find a person that you can confide in, to talk to share. And I know there are hotlines out there where people can call to discuss things like this, and those probably would be a very good place, because you can do it and have a conversation. Counseling, obviously, is another place to bring that stuff up. And it's that courage everyone has inside of them, but they're sometimes afraid to find their courage.
Right.
But it shows up.
Yeah.
Just have to give it the shot.
Yeah. And I often say, to borrow someone else's courage. You don't need to tell them that you're borrowing courage, but I could borrow courage from Rick and say, well, you know, Rick is courageous and willing to risk, and so I'm going to be courageous and willing to risk. So I think that's really important. Any last comments, anything you want to highlight before we are finished today?
I think that the most important thing for everyone to know that's listening is they can heal 100%. If you choose to heal, it can happen. So the journey is just taking the next step and wanting to heal. For me, I wanted to heal as much as I wanted to breathe. And when you get to that point, then things start to shift. And when you ask, the teacher will appear, you know, and what you're looking for will find you. But you just have to be courageous to know that in that darkness that you're afraid to face is actually the answers that you're looking for to take you to the next step in right. your journey.
And you only have to take the next step. Thank you, Rick. This was fabulous. I'm glad you were here, and I hope that this has been enjoyable for you.
Very much so. I appreciate the opportunity and glad to be on this journey with you, too.
Thank you.
Randy's House of Angels is sponsoring Season 4 of a series of podcasts that will serve as a resource to anyone impacted by domestic violence, including parents, guardians, caseworkers, health providers, advocates, teachers, trauma specialists, and clinicians, to provide an overview of domestic violence and how to handle situations where domestic violence is present. Season 4 will include a series of 5 podcasts that will include an overview of the life that children have after leaving a domestic violence home, how children cope with the trauma they've experienced, the hidden face of domestic violence for male victims, child-centered therapeutic approaches to children exposed to domestic violence, how to create a safe environment to help children deal with their emotions, and court-ordered trauma for children. The podcast will include testimony and stories from experts who work in the domestic violence field, criminal justice, juvenile justice, and social work academia. The podcast will be broadcasted starting in August of 2026 and running through October of 2026. Remember, you can always go to Randy's House of Angels website at randyshouseofangels.org if you miss a podcast or would like to find the resources that support the podcast. We also encourage you to click on the link and take our short survey. Your feedback is essential to shaping and informing future episodes of our show.